Hey, respected viewers, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to the channel. You can see my magnificent studio, which I've painstakingly prepared to look my absolute best because I'm so inauthentic. Anyway, this is about housing, the crisis in the United Kingdom. If perhaps that's not over-egging it to call it a crisis, but it's certainly a significant and growing problem. It has been aggravating for decades. So when did the trouble start? I suppose the early 1980s, when Margaret Thatcher, a Conservative Prime Minister, introduced the right to buy scheme. At that time, about 50% of people were council tenants, as in your local authority, your borough council or county council or whatever, would own a lot of housing stock, which would be simple flats, two or three bedrooms, or simple houses, two or three bedrooms, a small garden. And they rent that out very affordably to people on middle and low income. So in 1980, about 50% of people were social housing tenants. It's now about 10%. Now people speak contemptuously of those in council housing. And in fairly central areas in London and Westminster or Fulham or Hammersmith, I see blocks of flats which would have been council housing in the 1980s. It would have been working class or even poor to live there. You might well be upper class to have them now, because a working class person bought it and then they'd never had the prospect of being able to purchase it otherwise, but they wouldn't get a mortgage before the 1980s. And then they sold it on to someone who's lower middle class, or someone who's upper middle class, someone who's even wealthier, and maybe a landlord owns dozens of them and rents them out. So it's been a transfer of wealth from the public to private hands. So some of these council tenants were delighted, voted Conservative, because they owned the property first time in their lives. They could look after it, because if everybody owns it, knows it, nobody owns it, they didn't look after it. These things are in a very parlous condition. And there was a lot of junk and rubbish and vandalism and things in a poor state of repair. And the council sort it out. We're not responsible. But if you own it, you look after it. Yeah. I can't remember. Was it Aristotle who said what nobody owns, nobody will care for? But the cost of housing has risen astronomically. Now, I'm quoting from memory. Remember Peter Tatchell saying in the 70s, the gay rights campaigner, he could have purchased a four-bedroom Victorian house for so much. I can't remember the amount. And I was thinking, well, a waiter then earned about £7 a week in the early 1970s, £7. And what versus what a waiter would earn now, assuming it's minimum wage without tips. How many years' income would have taken the waiter to buy that four-bedroom Victorian house in London? How many years' income? 8 years. I mean, assuming there was no tax, he spent nothing on anything else, just 8 years of his income. How much would it cost him now, or her now, a waitress, to purchase that same property on minimum wage? How many years' income? Have a guess. 200 years. And I've done similar things, even taking into account inflation. I know a couple who purchased a house just off Clapham Common about 1975, sold it about 2020, and had appreciated 20-fold, even taking into account inflation. So the rise has just been staggering. So what is to be done? Moreover, a year back to 1980, the population of the UK was about 55 million. It's now about 70 million and growing. And that's not evenly spread. Okay, so in County Durham, there are whole streets of derelict houses. You can buy a house in a former pit village for 20,000 quid. There's still high unemployment, high crime there, very low paid jobs there. I did consider purchasing one myself and simply living there and say, okay, I don't really want to live here, but I'm mortgage free. I've got loads of money to play with and I can still do work online. Still go and visit friends, but don't actually want to be there. I want to be in or around London. So what is to be done? Because it's London in particular, the population is close to doubled in the last 35 years. And dormitory towns likewise. So it's very uneven. So there's just not enough housing stock. And I was at the Conservative Party conference and there was some data cited. I'm quoting this from memory, so it might be wrong, that France and the UK have roughly the same population. France has got, say, 35 million housing units. The UK has got 30 million housing units. And that's a big difference, actually, because how many people are per housing unit? Two, three, sometimes one. I mean, it could be more than three. But we say unit because, of course, a huge block of flats. There's one building, but might be, say, 50 flats. And obviously, the lot of people in France have got second homes or they're empty homes. And that's the problem in the United Kingdom, empty homes. Boris Johnson, as mayor of London in 2008, he said he would tax empty houses and he didn't do it. That would be a massively high tax and that to incentivize them to either live in it or rent out or sell it and so on. Then universities, we have all these halls of residence. We're only occupied half the year. That's very, very wasteful in terms of housing. We've got to get away from this idea that every child has his or her own bedroom. No, you have to share. Two sisters, two brothers, a sister and a brother, maybe even three siblings. And, you know, single adults to share bedrooms, not just couples in relationships, so two men, two women, or even more, or three or four, because they've been in places like the United Arab Emirates or Moscow. And it was affordable for low-paid workers to live because they share up to eight to a bedroom. Now, that might be a bit much, but, you know, putting two bunk beds in one room. And that'll bring the bills right down. And then I spoke to Shelter, this homeless charity, and they said they will not have homeless people share a bedroom. Are you out of your mind? Oh, they need this dignity. I think dignity is a luxury they cannot afford. Beggars can't be choosers. So you'd rather they be on the street dying of exposure, a victim of a crime, than share a bedroom. They might be good friends. They might become friends. And what do they want to share? No. So we could halve homelessness, or maybe even reduce it by two-thirds or something by getting two, three people to share a room, but you won't do it. Wow. And it dawned on me, maybe Shelter, they actually want homelessness to exist. Are they a five-star charity? Because for their moralistic grandstanding, it's an ego trip for them. It strokes them. So that's what they want, just to caress their egos. Wow. And the other people that have to pay for this. I mean, not the government, admittedly, or councils giving out free flats to homeless people. All right, but not demanding that they share. Wow, it's staggering. So often it's the responsible paying out for the irresponsible, and more statutory duties piled on local authorities, which are piled, therefore, on the taxpayer, is grossly unjust. But Angela Rayner wants to concrete over the Greenbelt. And maybe the Greenbelt is too much. There are loads of brownfield sites we've got to use. And we've got to allow people to repurpose shop units and so forth into housing units and say, no planning permission, just do it. In terms of warehouses, former cafes, offices, we're increasingly working from home. The one thing is we also need to think about, do we have the road capacity, the rail capacity? Do we have the GPs, clinics, or the school places around there to accommodate the growing population? In terms of brownfield sites, apparently a lot of the low-hanging fruit's already been taken. So Angela Rayner, I think, in some ways, it'd be disastrous. It'll face a lot of pushback from local communities. I'm not a banana. I learned this recently. A banana, I think it was Tom Tugendhat, was being interviewed when this one came out. Banana is build absolutely nothing, nowhere near anything, as opposed to a NIMBY, not in my backyard. Yes, we need a crematorium, but not where I live. Yes, we need a rubbish dump, but not near me, near other people. Yes, we need a center for asylum seekers. Ooh, but not in my town. It's got to be somewhere else. Ooh, I don't like them. We need a prison. Oh, but not near me because they have escaped. It's got to be somewhere. So where's it going to be? Yes, we need new affordable housing, but don't spoil my view, or I don't want to be close to the dirty working classes. So that's the attitude that some people take. Yeah, we need more roads and railways, but no, not where I am. That'd be noisy. So it's got to be somewhere. And so someone's going to be displeased about it. These are some of the solutions we have. And the property prices, I realize, are just way too high. People living with mum and dad into their 20s, into their 30s, quite normal in some countries. I read about home ownership in the United Kingdom, and it was said it was the ninth lowest in the world. But admittedly, they probably don't have data from all 193 countries. But wow, the ninth lowest. But they said some countries like Sweden and Germany, they've got really good long-term rents, multi-generational rents. That's not really a problem. But it's been made more and more difficult for private landlords, more and more oppressive legislation, making it almost impossible to do things. Now it's very difficult to rent things out. And the tenants have so many rights, the landlords are very few. Therefore, the landlord's inclined just not to rent out, I suppose sell, which might be a good thing, going up onto more people who need housing more badly. All right, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.